A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
What are the top 10 best pay-per-views of the year 2019? Mm. Hello, you're watching WrestleTalk. I'm El Fakador, Laurie Blake. This is Chopper Pete Quinnell. And just to say up front that this is a list of the 10 best pay-per-views, sure. However, five of the best pay-per-views this year were named TakeOver something something.
Yes.
So for the sake of variety, we've chucked out a couple of the takeovers and thrown in a few other things. Because I'll just be saying the names Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano,
Tommaso Ciampa.
So, yeah, we've taken a few creative liberties, but I think you'll find most of the takeovers have made their ways into our honourable mentions, which Pete will go through now.
Yeah, so we'll run through some honourable mentions here. Impact Wrestling's Homecoming was a great show. Mm-hmm. Just missed out on the top 10. New Japan's Dominion, also great. King of Pro Wrestling 2019. Survivor Series, when NXT won, was cool. AEW's All Out, just missed the top 10 as well. And NXT TakeOver 25, which features probably one of my favorite matches of all time, which is Adam Cole Gargano, where Cole wins. However, the rest of the card isn't quite as good as some of the other takeovers of the year. But we'll start things off, though, with a takeover at number 10. NXT TakeOver Phoenix. So this was the one that took place before the Royal Rumble this year. So we got some great matches on TakeOver Phoenix, such as Ciampa facing Aleister Black and beating him. The high point of the night really came when Johnny Gargano defeated Ricochet for the North American title, which was an incredible match. And it was mirrored in the finish with, right at the end, it was the swinging DDT that he won with. And as Ricochet was getting to his feet, he goes, "I win," and does that. And then later on in the match, Ciampa goes, "I win," before he hits his finish on Black. It was like a nice mirror thing, and it furthered their feud with the whole puppetry thing that Ciampa was doing at the time.
It was awesome. It was like sort of cemented Johnny's descent into darkness.
Exactly.
It was a really good little bit of storytelling.
Exactly.
And it's such a shame they never got to have that match.
I know. But we also got like War Raiders versus the Undisputed Era to kick off the night, which was obviously incredible. Matt Riddle defeating Cassius Ohno and Shayna Baszler defeating Bianca Belair.
That was the very quick Cassius Ohno defeat, was it not?
No, that was the nine-minute one.
This was the nine-minute.
Yeah, so it was the one before that, I believe, when Matt Riddle first
just debuted.
Just need him in the face in a few seconds, yeah. So this was the follow-up to that.
What are you going
to
do?
Which was pretty great, I thought. At number nine, though, we get something slightly different. We get WWE SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. Which I think is one, like, you know, there's an argument to be made that no main roster pay-per-view should really be on this list, but it's wrestling.
That's a good argument to be made.
I think you've got to take it, the idea that the WWE stuff for the Raw and SmackDown things exists in its own universe in which that's how pay-per-views are done. I believe that SummerSlam was actually a really good one. This is the one
it was.
We got the Fiend debut against Finn Balor, in which was just like an entrance that made, I think, most people just go, "Oh my God."
Genuinely one of the greatest debuts of a new character in ever in wrestling.
Yep. And also, it's before the red light started coming in as well. So there's that to sort of take into account. Mm-hmm. That was where he first did the neck snap. It was like, this was like the height of the Fiend. This is before we knew that it could turn sour to some degree. Mm-hmm. You also got AJ Styles versus Ricochet, which was an awesome
match.
There was Becky Lynch versus Natalya. Mm-hmm. There was Bayley versus Ember Moon. The main event was Seth Rollins taking on Brock Lesnar for the Universal title and winning it back, I think. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he lost, winning it back. He won it at Mania.
Won it at Mania, then lost it again. Lost it via then, Money in the Bank cash in.
Yeah, and then won it back.
Won it back at some point.
But this is when he had the taped up ribs. And,
yeah.
Like, he comes out hot and he's like basically countering everything Brock's doing. Brock's trying to do all these suplexes and he's flipping his way out of them, flipping his way out of them. Then Brock gets a modicum of control.
Yeah.
And Brock's like, oh, you're going to suplex me. But I'm also going to spin you around by your rib tape. It was a lot of fun for a Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar third rematch, whatever it was by this point.
Yeah. Goldberg got his redemption on this show as well, having probably the worst match of the year against The Undertaker at Super Showdown, having a really quite fun match against Dolph Ziggler here, when after the match, Ziggler would come on the mic and be like, oh, you can't take me, and Goldberg would come down and spear him again, and then he'd go, and then Ziggler would call him out again, and then he'd spear him again. It was funny.
This is the one that Ziggler was asking for more time on.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
He did not get it, but that was good for everyone
else. But it was still a very funny match. So overall, it was a pretty good card. I think it's worthy of a top 10 status.
I think in terms of character debuts, you have to say that the Fiend,
it's so significant.
The Fiend's is probably the best that's happened all year,
easily
in wrestling.
Easily.
So for that reason alone, I think SummerSlam deserves a spot.
Absolutely, yeah. But now going to number 8, we're going right back to NXT. And the most recent takeover, NXT TakeOver War Games, which was the night before Survivor Series. And this one, of course, is most well known for the two War Games matches.
Yeah.
Because you opened up with a very story-driven, the female War Games match, which was the very story-driven one when you had it was a 2v4 because Dakota Kai turned heel, beat up Tegan Nox. They took both of them out of the match. Then you had Ripley and Candice versus the rest of Team Baszler, which was a great story-based one. And then you had the male one, which was very spot-driven isn't Keith Lee, great match, which is always fun. But then you also had Finn Balor and Matt Riddle, which was great because Balor just turned heel, so it was his first outing as his new heel character properly. And you had Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, and Killian Dane in a triple threat, which again was a very fun match.
Yeah, I really like. I loved the War Games card. I thought War Games, especially the War Games matches, obviously were just insanely good. And I think weirdly, I think the women's one was better.
Like, yeah, totally.
I'm very much in the camp of like, I think the story of the what happened in the women's one was amazing. It managed to cement Rhea Ripley as the sort of just the biggest deal in the women's roster in WWE. I think. You know, we're recording this on a Thursday, and that has just all paid off.
Yeah.
On this particular Thursday, with Rhea Ripley winning the NXT Women's Championship, so like we are now in this world of seeing the fallout of War Games, and basically just that. I mean, that weekend in general of Rhea Ripley, of like she also won the Survivor Series match. Yeah. So like that was kind of this was all her moment, and I think it was brilliantly handled, really well done. They made a star. And now she is the star.
Yeah, exactly. It was fantastic. At number 7, we've gone for WrestleMania 35. So this is half a very, very good show.
Yeah.
And I would say the other half is not so great, and it's a very, very long show. However, it's probably one of the most significant shows of the year for a few reasons. One, because Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins opened the card, which is insane, which was a really nice surprise, and Rollins won, which was great, because there were three people the fans wanted to see win heading into this show: Seth Rollins, Kofi Kingston, and Becky Lynch. And all three of them won, which is actually insane.
This was wish fulfillment, the pay-per-view.
Absolutely. So you had the peak of Kofi Mania, him beating Daniel Bryan at the show. You had Becky Lynch winning in the first ever WrestleMania women's main event. Granted, it was botched. Wasn't great. However, the moment still happened. Becky Lynch still won, became Becky Two Belts. It was great. Rollins beat Lesnar. And we got the best match in wrestling history, Shane McMahon versus The Miz.
Yes, I love that match.
Which was incredible.
I will go to bat for that match any day of the week.
I think
the argument to be made here is like, yes, overall, if you take WrestleMania and all of its component parts, it's not an amazing pay-per-view. However, from Seth and Brock pretty much up to Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wicked pay-per-view.
It's really good.
Really good.
AJ Styles and Randy Orton's in there, yeah, which was awesome.
And also, if you do take that, that's the length of the regular pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly,
so
yeah.
That's fine.
So really?
It's earned its... But I think you sometimes have to imagine... Like, you can do the sort of bare bones. Like, here's the mechanics of a wrestling pay-per-view of, like, this match, this match, this match. Did they all score 5 stars and above? Because
mm-hmm.
that is what makes a best pay-per-view. I think sometimes what makes a best pay-per-view is the thing you're really excited for. And to me, WrestleMania 35 was one of the most exciting pay-per-views that I've watched this year. I went into it like, I cannot wait to see what happens. I genuinely was emotional when Kofi Kingston won the title.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think much else in wrestling has sort of stirred that level of like enthusiasm from me. So I think WrestleMania 35 absolutely deserves a spot.
Yep.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Coming in at number 6, we're going over to AEW for AEW Full Gear.
Mm-hmm.
So this took place in November. You and I did live reactions for the show. And I thought this was an awesome, awesome card. Because capped off with Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega in that Lights Out match, which was just absolutely bonkers. Like, going through glass and barbed wire and
that barbed
chains
wire
and
bed he
barbed
made?
Wire
whatever,
chain
whatever,
bed
what was it? He's like, oh, it's just a plinth of barbed wire, so you're going on that.
That was
the broken glass,
an unbelievable match in so many ways. And you had Jericho versus Cody with MJF throwing in the towel and turning heel. Like, that was a massive moment after a great match as well. You had Proud and Powerful and the Young Bucks to open up the show as well, which was just bonkers.
Which also involved the Rock and Roll Express and Ricky Morton doing a Canadian Destroyer.
An assisted Canadian Destroyer.
Heavily assisted. Yeah, but then he did an unassisted suicide dive. So
that's true. Yeah.
I genuinely think that is one of the greatest moments in wrestling this year.
It's so good.
And I'm pushing for it very hard to be on the list of best wrestling moments. I just thought it was wicked. It was a really fun, confident show.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? AEW's fourth pay-per-view? Third pay-per-view? Something like that? Like,
Double or Nothing. All are out. Are you including Fight for the Fallen and Fighter Fest?
Not really. So maybe the fifth then.
Yeah.
So it's Double or Nothing and All Out and Full Gear are the sort of three proper.
The three proper.
These
ones,
are the AEW's plan to do these as pay-per-views, whereas Fight for the Fallen and Fighter Fest were sort of deals that were already in play because of their Kenny Omega projects.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a sort of, this is a pay-per-view that doesn't have quite the grandeur of All Out. It doesn't have the significance of Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
This was kind of like AEW going like, here's just what a regular AEW pay-per-view could look like.
Yes.
This is when it's not like our anniversary show, which you imagine All Out kind of would be, or our second ever pay-per-view, so we've called it this thing, and it's kind of all back referential. This is just a bog standard, normal person's pay-per-view. And it was insanely good.
It was crazy good.
So good.
Yeah.
I just think that's such a good such a confidence builder for you as a fan to be like, oh no, they're really capable. They really understand how to put together these shows.
Mm-hmm.
They know the sort of thing that are going to get people talking. And my lord, did the Jon Moxley Kenny Omega match get people talking? Like, was it too far?
Was it too far?
I don't know. Like, maybe it was, but I thought it was very gripping television.
It was, yeah. It was outstanding. Moving on to number five, we're going all the way back to the beginning. We're going to Royal Rumble 2019. Mm-hmm. This was a great card for several reasons, mainly because Becky Lynch and Asuka opened up the card to a great match, which Asuka won clean, which was great. But then Becky went on to win the Women's Royal Rumble later on, and Seth Rollins won the Men's Rumble later on as well. And you had great matches like Lesnar versus Balor. You had Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, which was when Eric Rowan debuted, which was a bit of a not great finish. However, you had Ronda Rousey, Sasha Banks. You had Miz and Shane McMahon winning the tag titles. You had all sorts of really fun stuff. Yeah. It was a great card, and there wasn't really like, oh, that was a bad match on the whole card. There just wasn't one.
I think, and that's the thing, is like the Royal Rumble show is so weird because none of it really matters beyond the Rumbles. Like it's one of those. Like we are, like, I've done a video very recently about Royal Rumble rumors, and it's like it's worth saying that the Royal Rumble, the show itself, is two matches and then a bunch of other stuff that just sort of fills in. And because we're all waiting really for WrestleMania to save all the big changes, all the big things, so we're just sort of subtly moving pieces into place. This Rumble had really good, because I think because of the fact that none of it really mattered, it just was like, well, we'll just have fun with it and we'll do lots of fun stuff. The Rumbles themselves, I thought, like, the Women's Rumble was really fun. They got, like, a load of legends to return and all these big moments and all this fun stuff. And then the Men's Rumble, they went even crazier. We're like, Nia Jax is there.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Because
like,
why not? RKO, super kick. Get out of here. 619.
Well, I just think that's what's so good about the Rumble as sort of an event, is because you actually go into it going, like, I know that I'm going to be surprised at some point during this show.
And I'm probably going to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's great, yeah.
And what is wrestling if not fun?
Exactly. And that was kind of peak Becky Lynch man era, when people just wanted to see Becky Lynch do everything.
Yep.
So to have her lose a match against Asuka, which, again, some people actually wanted because they really like Asuka too, and then to have her go on and win the Women's Rumble was fantastic, because it was just absolutely, again, wish fulfillment. It's everything that people wanted to see. Peak man fandom.
Although I wanted her to win against Asuka.
Yeah, well.
And then go into the Rumble as like a champion and be like, boom.
And I still
win
that.
Here I am.
And now no one can challenge me.
It would have made the Becky 2 belt thing a little bit easier to get to.
That's true,
It would have narrowed the gap slightly.
Yeah. For number four, we're heading back to NXT because we're going to NXT TakeOver Toronto, which was the night before SummerSlam, which was an unbelievable card. This had some awesome stuff in it. Street Profits managed to retain their tag team championships against the Undisputed Era to open the show, which was great. Io Shirai had just turned heel. Io Shirai had just turned heel and was facing Candice LeRae in their kind of grudge match after she turned heel on NXT TV, which was an amazing way to kick off her heel character. It was an awesome, awesome match.
And also amazing to see Candice actually get some takeover time and crush it. It was such a good match.
It was such a good match. Velveteen Dream beat Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong to retain his North American title. Shayna Baszler beat Mia Yim, which was another like person checked off the list for Baszler. I've beaten you, I've beaten you, I've beaten you. And then you had Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano in the 2 out of 3 falls match where the stipulation would change at every fall. William Regal decided the third one, which was a cage surrounded by weapons.
A weapons cage.
Because why not? And then the finish game.
I was just waiting for him to be like, it's in Blackpool.
Get on a plane.
Get on a plane. We're going to Blackpool.
Fight on the plane there. And then we'll fight over there too. But then Cole and Gargano fell off the top of the cage through a table to finish the match, which was just a bonkers match. A really fun card overall. And it set up people nicely for the great night that was SummerSlam the following night.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Such a great show.
And I think this is the thing. Like any of the takeovers that had a Cole and Gargano match on them could have a place on... Could have just been 1, 2, and 3 on this list. Because those matches are just straight up and down the three of the best matches that happened this year.
Absolutely.
If your name isn't Will Ospreay.
Like, exactly,
I think that's just... Those are some of the greatest wrestling I've ever seen.
Mm. Speaking of Will Ospreay, going into our top three, number three of the year, Wrestle Kingdom 13, all the way back January 4th.
Which deserves to be on the list purely for Will Ospreay versus Kota Ibushi. Because
what
that was
a bloody match.
It was insane.
It's absolute. Seriously, if you haven't watched it, it's 18 minutes long, but it feels like it's 40. The amount of spots that they cram into that match is unbelievable. Those two are two of the best wrestlers on the planet, doing exactly what they do best. They're so quick, so talented. They just go spot.
Speed that's the scariest thing. It's the fact that it starts off like mildly slow. Of like, here's a flip. Oh, well, I'm going to do a flip now. All right. Well, I've done a twist in my flip. I'll do a twisty flip then. I'm going to do 2 twists and 2 flips. And it just goes like, it's just like, what? Where will it end?
Yeah. Where does the escalation stop? We had some other really fun matches as well. Juice Robinson and Cody, Taiji Ishimori and Kushida, before Kushida went over to NXT later that year. Jay White defeating Okada, Naito beating Jericho, winning the Intercontinental Championship back, and of course, capped off, Hiroshi Tanahashi defeating Kenny Omega for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. An unreal match. Mm-hmm. An absolutely unreal match. And something that... Obviously, a lot of the elite guys would be losing their matches because they're going to be going on to AEW not too long after. But this just capped off. This was in Dave Meltzer Star Ratings, which, of course, isn't the be-all, end-all. But in Dave Meltzer Star Ratings, this was tied the highest-rated match of the year at 5.75 stars because it was just an incredible match. It was a clash of philosophies between them, with Tanahashi having to wrestle more of Omega's style in order to get the one up on him, which was like, it's such a brilliant story, so perfectly told with two of the best wrestlers in the world.
And I think if you look at the whole card of Wrestle Kingdom as well, and the fact that, like, obviously the elite guys are all leaving to go and do AEW, what a lovely way to kind of cap off a heck of a run in New Japan for all of them as well. Like, I just think it's like, it's a fantastic show, and it's amazing that they're all part of it, and they went on to do great things also later in the year.
Exactly, yeah. What a great card. But now we move on to number two.
Number two.
The runner-up of the year is AEW Double or Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I think, it has some great wrestling on it, don't get me wrong. Probably not on the same level as some of the takeovers of the year or some of the stuff in the G1 or anything like that. However, this is probably one of the most significant shows of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, it had probably the most emotional match of the year, which is Cody and Dustin, which was an incredible story.
I think that's the thing. It's a masterclass in wrestling storytelling.
Absolutely.
It's not a masterclass in the art of movement or in the art of like...
That goes to Ospreay Ibushi.
Doing a move. It is literally just how do you convey emotion through wrestling.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what this match did.
Exactly. And that plus things like Jericho and Omega, and you had the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Bros for the AAA tag titles. Like, there's some great wrestling on this card, but it's so significant because it's the first proper AEW show. And that just kicked off this wave of popularity that we've seen for AEW. Granted, it was popular beforehand when the announcement came, but we saw this card and people just went, yeah, this is what I want to see.
Oh, yeah.
So do more of this, please. So I think this has now kicked off the style of pay-per-views that we're seeing with All Out and with Full Gear and things like that. This is the style of the AEW pay-per-view going forwards.
Yeah.
So while it's probably, in an in-ring perspective, not as good as Wrestle Kingdom 13 or as some of the takeovers, it deserves that number two spot purely for the amount of historical significance it will have going forwards. Yeah. Plus, John Moxley debuted.
And I think, yeah.
There's that
I think,
too.
I think there's also, like, you know, when we talk about telling the story through wrestling, mm-hmm. sometimes the story's the company.
Yeah.
And in this situation, the story is the company and the people who built it. And those guys going out there on that night and giving their all in these matches, and you finish the night with John Moxley debuting to take out Kenny Omega, who is basically the poster boy for being allowed to create AEW, I think, realistically, yeah. without being, as you know, yes, Young Bucks and Cody are sort of the architects of, mm-hmm. of the thing, but without being really good mates with Kenny and having worked with him for years, it probably wouldn't have happened because Kenny is the best wrestler in the world.
See, it's so interesting because this probably won't make it in the video, but it's so interesting that on Twitter, someone was talking to Meltzer about it and they said, how significant was Omega versus Okada, that original six-star classic, how important was that for AEW?
Yeah.
Because without that, Kenny wouldn't have had the American popularity that he has now.
Oh,
that was the gateway that opened up the popularity for everyone. And it was like, how insane is it that AEW might not even exist if Kenny didn't have that match against Okada?
Yeah.
It's bonkers.
And I just think this, I think it's also, like, again, to go back to the story of the company, to then do that match with Kenny Omega and have John Moxley debut and then have him go over Kenny Omega to end your second ever pay-per-view and just be like, no, we're actually about using our power to build new stars or to at least reinforce people who are going to be AEW stars in the case of John Moxley. So like, I just think it's like they've got a very smart, interesting view on the way to run their business. I think this showed exactly what they're all about.
Exactly, yeah. And finally, number one, the best show of the year. You can have a great story all you like, but sometimes you just can't beat some really bloody good wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Because number one is NXT TakeOver New York. This bloody show. Okay, so it started off, right, with the culmination of the Dusty Tag Team Classic, which was the War Raiders versus Aleister Black and Ricochet in what would be all four people's last match on NXT.
But we didn't know it was the War Raiders' last match.
We didn't know it was
War
Raiders' last match.
We did know it was Aleister Black and Ricochet's last match, and it was built as such.
Correct.
I absolutely adore this match. I thought it was like, you know when it's like when they put Aleister Black and Ricochet together, I was like, no, Franken team. I hate Franken teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were in the Dusty Classic, and I was like, no. And then you just realised they were doing it to have a great match at a takeover. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm on board.
Yeah,
and
totally fine.
And I just felt like Aleister Black and Ricochet together were having fun. They did all the sit, like the double cross-legged spot, and people kept going crazy every time they sat down next to each other, which I loved. I love the fact that, like, the other story of this match was, like, Ricochet was there and Hansen went, well, I'm also a Ricochet. And he just started doing flips all the time and all these crazy, like, dives and spots. This was an amazing match that was just, like, I'm so sad those four people aren't in NXT anymore.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And the thing with this card as well is, as we go through more of the matches, if anyone comes to me and says, this was my favorite match of the night, I'd be like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, any
You're
of these matches,
to,
yeah, completely, that's totally fair. Velveteen Dream against Matt Riddle was another very fun match.
Oh.
Loads of really innovative spots and going back and forth. There was a nuts German suplex from the apron to the inside of the ring off the middle rope. It was bonkers. And Dream managed to get a cheeky roll-up win after Riddle locked in the bro mission.
Which was Riddle's
match.
First loss as well, believe, yeah.
It was, yeah. Which was just so, so fun. You had Walter against Pete Dunne for the NXT UK title, which was insane.
This is my favorite match of the show, and I like,
totally fair.
It is a very different style to a lot of the other matches on the show, and it's a lot slower, it's more methodical, but I think it's a really good showcase of, like, this is British style wrestling, and it's
this is
like,
Walter.
Yeah, this, and here is Walter, and he will chop you. And there are so many amazing but simple spots that they do in this match that really put over the idea that Walter is this incredibly imposing figure. There's a moment where he just stamps on Pete Dunne's neck, like just on his throat. And I don't think I've ever seen anything that I've just gone like, that is disgusting. Like, that is... like, it's visceral and makes your tummy funny. Yeah. And you're just watching it just going, oh, I think my balls have gone up inside myself. Like, and I know that doesn't protect my throat, but I feel like it might.
Yeah.
Like, I love this match. I think it's wicked.
It was an incredible match. And then you had a fatal four-way for the NXT Women's Championship with Baszler, Shirai, Belair, and Sane, which was insane.
Oh, yeah.
Again, an awesome, awesome match. And all of these matches got... really good time as well. Like, this was the shortest match on the card, but it still got 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a really fun match. So many innovative spots. Bianca Belair doing the KOD to two people.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an amazing match.
It's utter madness. I think it was madness, that
match. It was madness.
Because that was like... It
didn't stop.
Also felt like a moment where the NXT women's title was at a bit of a loose end because mm-hmm. Baszler had been champion for so long. So, like, she'd already sort of worked her way through most of those people in a sort of one-on-one scenario mm-hmm. And lost the belt and got it back again. Like, and, you know, so there was a lot going on in this match. And they just went, well, we'll just put her against a few of the people who've already competed for it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they just... it just comes out of this amazing thing. And then they get a chance to sort of think about and restructure and pick the next proper opponent.
Exactly.
I loved it.
It was great. And then
oh, yeah.
it was capped off with Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole in a 2 out of 3 falls match in what should have been Gargano versus Ciampa in the culmination of their feud. But unfortunately, Ciampa got injured and he had to pull out of this match.
But in what should have also, like, yeah, and that's the thing, is like they filled what felt like the biggest gaping hole in NXT's history, mm-hmm. I believe. Like,
yeah.
In terms of like matches that you are desperate to see, I was desperate to see the culmination of Johnny and Ciampa as like Johnny finally wins the NXT championship from heel Ciampa.
Yeah.
Cannot wait to see that.
Right.
And yet. Two people who, like, yes, Johnny was obviously always in the sort of the picture for the NXT Championship. So then just go like, well, Adam Cole's now going to be the guy mm-hmm. instead. Go out there, have a match, get people into it. And I think NXT did a great job in the build-up with all the sort of, like, hometown stuff they did. Like, that promo package of Johnny running around the stadium in Cleveland and all that stuff. There was amazing build to this. But no, I don't think anyone expected them to go out there and have that match.
No. This was... unbelievable, because when it started, the crowd didn't want to see Gargano win. They just wanted to see Cole win, because it wasn't against Ciampa. And I think people felt, not necessarily betrayed, but yep. I think people thought, well, it should be against Ciampa, so I want to see Cole win it, and then Gargano can win it later.
And that's why people weren't necessarily like into the first fall of this match
mm-hmm.
didn't really matter too much. It was dispatched with quite quickly.
Yeah.
It didn't have quite the impact that people felt it did. However, from there, it became a completely different ballgame. It was like they suddenly just shifted into this other gear for mm-hmm. the second fall, in which they built and built and built and built and built and built and built to this point where Johnny got that win back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, I found another gear. I didn't know before, but there's another gear in this car. And they just... ratchet it all the way up, and they were like, well, now that final fall, there were so many moments where you were like, he's lost it, he's lost it, he's lost it, he's lost it. And then after everything that's thrown him out, after the Undisputed Era interfering, after taking the high low, after kicking out, after taking the last shot multiple times, Johnny is still in the goddamn match, ducks a last shot, locks on the Gargano escape, and Cole has no option but to tap.
It is... perfect. That final fall is wrestling perfection.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot find anything better than that in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And what started as the crowd not wanting to see Gargano win, by the time that final fall rolls around, everyone is like, F you, Adam Cole. I must see Gargano win this match now. And the crowd erupted when Gargano won that. It is... incredible.
And it's nuts to think that then started a program very similar to the program Johnny was running with Tommaso Ciampa,
mm-hmm.
but switched it all over. And then people were just like, oh no, I'm back on the Cole train now. Like,
yeah.
I all I want to see is Adam Cole be the champion.
Mm-hmm.
They played the feud between those two from the beginning, before this match, through this match, and all the way to the sort of finale of it to perfection.
Yeah. And it is well worth taking the number one spot mm-hmm. on this top 10 list.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.